Did you know that there is two appearances of Jesus Christ, and one has already taken place, wherein which he appeared as the lowly servant? The second appearance has not happened in our lifetime, and this is when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Second thing I want to point out, did you know that in his first appearance, there was a remnant in the earth that understood the times and seasons and understood the significance that a Messiah would appear, and they recognized him when he appeared? And I'm going to tell you, and today we're going to show you, and I believe with all of my heart, just as there was a remnant in the beginning when the Messiah appeared, there will be a remnant in the last days that will know, understand the times and seasons in which we're in, and by the Holy Spirit, they will know that the time is drawing near of the return of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that on tonight's broadcast. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, family? It is Thursday, October the 24th. We welcome you to tonight's broadcast. I want to welcome everybody in the chat right here on YouTube as we're broadcasting this. All of our family, we love you guys. We appreciate you and taking the time out tonight on this broadcast to come on and be a part of our program. Do me a favor. You know the drill. Hit that like button. Help us push this out so your friends, your family, other people that's never heard of this message or know about our podcast or our ministry, they'll be able to get eyes on this with the help of the algorithm. And we would appreciate if you help us do that. As I said in the introduction to this, we've got I believe this is going to be a powerful message. I believe it's going to edify you. It's going to give you hope. It's going to just really be a blessing to you. And again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Tonight, we're taking a break from the headlines, and we're going to get into the Word of God tonight. I'm going to preach a little bit on the subject of there will be those who will know. There will be those who will know. Just as I said at the introduction to this, even as the first appearance of the Messiah, and we're going to show you all this in Scripture tonight, there was a remnant in the earth that understood the times and seasons, and there was praying, interceding men and women of God in the earth that when the Messiah was present, when he came in the flesh, John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, while the majority did not understand, nor did they recognize that this was the Messiah, there was a remnant that knew. And I believe just as there was, it's going to happen again. Now, I'm not saying we know that Christ is not going to come as a baby born in a manger again and grow up among us and then begin to preach the gospel at 30 years of age. He's already done that. He came as the lowly servant. He gave himself as a ransom for many. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. No, the second time he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints. Come on that white horse of heaven. Paul said that before he comes with the saints, Jude says, Paul said that he's coming for the saints. Let me say that again. For the back row, and I'm not mincing words here, because I 100% believe what I'm telling you. Before he comes with the church, and the Bible says in the book of Jude, Paul said he's coming for the church, because how can he come out of heaven with the church if the church is not taken from the earth to heaven to come with him? And that event happens in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, with a trumpet, a blast, and a shout of an archangel, and the voice of the trumpet of God will speak, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. And I believe before that glorious day occurs, now we know according to Scripture, no man knows the day nor the hour, but come on, the remnant will know the times and seasons. Let me say that again for clarification purposes, because God forbid someone take something I said out of context, because we all know that never happens. No man knows the day nor the hour, as Jesus said, not the angels in heaven, not himself, but only the Father, him only. So we cannot pinpoint the day nor the hour, but the church, the remnant, those who, come on, he said, my sheep know and hear my voice. I'm talking about the remnant in the earth will know the times and seasons of his return, and they will know that it is even at the doors. Now, why do I say this? Because Solomon said that which was is that which shall be, and there's no new thing under the sun. And if there was a remnant in the earth that knew and understood that the Messiah was among them, I can assure you there's going to be a remnant in the earth in the coming days prior to the Son of Man returning, who understand the times and seasons of his return. All right. Now you say, well, do you have scripture to back all this up, preacher? Yes, I do. I'm glad you asked, because we're going to go there. All right. Let's take you to the first appearance of the Messiah. Again, let me show you some passages of the first appearance of the Messiah and the remnant that knew. Okay. Let's take you there first, and then I'm going to show you the latter when we get through this. All right, this is Luke chapter 2, verse 25 for you guys on Apple and Spotify. And as always, we welcome you. We appreciate you. And guys, do us a favor. Can you give us a good review? If you love our podcast, give us a good review, as I've always asked. Let us know in the review why you love our ministry and so on and so forth. Give us a good review, and this helps push this out on Spotify and Apple and all these platforms, so they can catch others can catch our ministry as well. All right, Luke 2:25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout. I said he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So this man was just, he was devout, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit did not come in him because he had not yet been poured out yet. That would happen later in Acts chapter 2. And before the outpouring, Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit would come in a believer before the death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit would come upon believers, come upon men and women of God. He would come upon holy prophets as they spoke, the Bible says. So this man is... he is a devout believer. He is righteous before the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is upon him. Verse 26, and it had been revealed. Look at this. I'm going to highlight this. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Whoa, stop. Did you catch that? This man was so close to the Lord and so devout and had such a relationship with Christ that the Holy Spirit spoke to this man and said, Simeon, before you finish your race, before you die and you pass from this earth, your physical eyes will behold that which the prophets have foretold. Your physical eyes will see the Messiah in the flesh. Imagine a word like that. But it happened, as we're showing you in Scripture. So he came, verse 27, by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, and these parents are Mary and Joseph, this would be the Messiah's earthly parents, brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. And this, as Simeon was a priest, he would pray over the child, he would bless it, and he would circumcise the child on the eighth day. So this is what they're doing. They're doing this ritual. They brought him to Simeon to do him for according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now listen to what Simeon says, quote, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Not, this was a word from the Holy Spirit. Not, this wasn't the word of God. This wasn't the logos, which in his day would be the Torah, the law, the prophets. When he said, let it be done, let your servant depart in peace according to your word, he's talking about what the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Okay? For, listen what he says. For my eyes, look at this, have seen your salvation, which you have, quote, prepared before the face of all peoples. Come on, Simeon knew the written word of God. He knew the prophets. He knew what the prophets spoke of about Yeshua, that he would come. Look at this, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So he is speaking this. I want you to, you got to get this picture in your head, guys. You got to get this in your mind. I want to show you this. So here is Joseph, here is Mary, here is Jesus as a child, as an infant baby, probably 8 days old, in the arms of Simeon. Simeon is holding this child up before the presence of the Lord, and he is declaring, he's speaking this out, praying this out, saying, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He's saying all this stuff. And your Bible says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now, stop. Why are they marveling? Are they marveled because that was the first time they got the revelation that Jesus, that their child was going to be the Messiah? No, because that had already been revealed, friend, to Mary, remember, by Gabriel. And then she relayed the message to Joseph, and then the angels appeared to Joseph and confirmed the word. So Mary and Joseph had already known that he was the Messiah. They had already known he was going to be the Savior of Israel and the world. So the reason why they were marveled at what Simeon was speaking is because I believe they were marveled and blown away that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had not only revealed this revelation to Mary and Joseph, but this revelation was also revealed to Simeon. So Simeon, verse 34, blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So Simeon, not only did the word of the Lord come to pass that the Holy Ghost had given to Simeon about his eyes would behold the Messiah, but now Simeon is prophesying over Mary, saying this son is going to cause the rise and fall of many in Israel, and this child, its life will be a piercing sword to your own soul. What was he saying? Remember, you got to look at you got to think of the humanity of Mary. This is her, even though it's the Messiah, it's still her son, okay? And she has to watch her son go through the brutal persecution that he would endure to go to the cross. We're talking about the trial. We're talking about going before Pontius Pilate. We're talking about the beatings, the scourgings, the crown of thorns, the whips, the lashes. All of these things, they ripped his beard out, all of the lies, the blasphemy they speak against him, and then they put him up on the cross, they do all this thing, and it would rip Mary's heart out. So Simeon's prophecy would be fulfilled. All right, so you've got, now we know that at least one individual, and I would venture to say there were more, but this is what was recorded. Simeon was a praying man, a devout man, filled, the Holy Ghost was upon him. Today, in today's vernacular, we'd say he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But that would be incorrect because the Holy Spirit, again, did not fill believers then. He would come upon them. So we want to be correct here. But he the Holy Spirit was upon him because of his righteous life before the Lord. Simeon had a word from the Lord. So Simeon was able to depart in peace. He was able to go on and be with the Lord because he knew that once he saw and his eyes beheld the Messiah, then the clock would be punched on him and he would go on to be with the Lord. But then watch this. I'm going to show you something else. Man, I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am, because I think this kind of stuff is so awesome. This is amazing to me. And we haven't even got to the real core of this yet. Luke chapter 2, look at this. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Now, in the same time frame, there was one called Anna, and she was a prophetess. Yes, she was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. She was of a great age, so she would be what we would call an elder. She was of a great age, and she had lived with a husband for 7 years from her virginity. So she had been married for a long time. If she's of a great age, and she had been married from 7 years from her virginity, this would be like saying she was married for 60 years. Or longer. So we see right off the bat, she's a prophetess. She is an elder in the church, but she's a woman of great age, and she's been married. She's been faithful to her marriage. And this woman was a widow, look at this, of about 84 years. So now we learn that Anna was a prophetess. She was of a great age. She outlived her husband of 60 plus years. I don't know. I'm just throwing a number out there. And now she was a widow and she was 84 years of age. 84-year-old widow, prophetess. Look at this. Look at her devotion. She did not depart from the temple. So she was always in the house of God. Come on. Do I got any lovers of the house of God in the chat? Come on, do I got anybody listening by YouTube, by Rumble, by Apple, by Spotify, and you love the verse that says, I was glad when they said unto me, come on, y'all can recite it, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I know sometimes that's disappointing today. Sometimes we're not glad when we go into the house of God because it's turned into a three-ring circus, but for the remnant churches out there, I always love going to the house of God where the Holy Spirit is free to move and free to operate and free to and to touch the people, and people can get set free and they can get delivered and they can get ministered to. We all love that. And again, it doesn't mean a brick and mortar church. It could be a house meeting or wherever there's two or more gathered in his name. But don't miss it. I don't want to get sidetracked here. She did not depart from the temple, but look at this. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. All right. So now we know she's an 84-year-old prophetess. She was faithful to her marriage. She loved the house of God, and she served God with continual prayers and fasting night and day. And the Bible says, watch this, and coming in that instant. Now, what is she talking about? Well, let's go to the full chapter here. Let's go down here. Now, when we pull up the full chapter, look at this. This is what we just read right here about Simeon. Okay, and then we talked about Joseph, and his mother marveled at those things. So we saw this happen. And then look at this. Immediately after Simeon revealed to Mary and Joseph that the Lord had given him a word about this would be the Messiah, the Savior that Mary carried and now has given birth. Now you have this Anna the prophetess that comes in, and the Bible says, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all of those who look for the redemption in Jerusalem. So stop. So now you have Simeon and you have Anna, who both knew by the Holy Spirit that the Messiah is now in the earth. And the Bible says, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and grace of God was upon him. Come on, hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you that there was a remnant in the earth that saw the Messiah and understood who he was. They saw him and they understood who he was. Even though the majority may have been blind to who the Messiah was, there was and always will be a remnant. Now, I'm going to show you something else that's going to blow you away. If you've never seen this, this is profound. Now, we assume when we've seen all the movies about Christ, the depictions about Christ, whether it be The Passion, whether it be, I mean, there's been so many series and movies and films that depict the crucifixion and the trial of Jesus. And they've always depicted that none of the Pharisees, none of the Sadducees, and none of the teachers of the law recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And they all hated him and they all wanted him to be crucified, right? Come on, talk to me in the chat, guys. Let me know your comments on this. This is the depictions of every one of these films. But I'm going to blow you away today with a revelation. If you've never seen this, I'm going to show you another angle to this. Now watch this. This is John chapter 11, 45 through 54. I'll give you, if you guys are listening by Apple, Spotify, I'll give you a second to turn there. John 11, 45 through 54. While we're turning there, guys, again, help me out. Many of these podcasts that we do, guys, on YouTube, We'll have 5,000, 7,000 views with only like 800 likes. I want at least see half. Come on, we need at least half the likes as we do views. So if we're going to get 10,000 views on this, we should at least have 5,000 likes. Come on, hit that like button for me. Help us get this word out. The people need to hear the word of the Lord. All right, John 11, 45 through 54. And then look at this. Many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things that Jesus did and they believed in him. Okay, praise God. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Uh-oh, now we're pulling the Pharisees into this. Now, watch this. Then the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered a council. So now they're having a council meeting. And they said, look, quote, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. So they're not negating that he's performing signs. If we leave him alone like this, everyone will believe in him and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. Now look at this. And one of them, somebody say one of them. One of them, Caiaphas. Watch this. Being high priest that year. Caiaphas was the high priest during the time when Jesus was crucified. This is the highest place of office. And by the way, the apostle Paul at that time was Saul. He was next in line to be a high priest like Caiaphas. He had all the education. He had all the knowledge. He went through all the prerequisites to go through this. He was of the age of that. Everything was set up for him to be the next high priest of Israel. But come on, a road to Damascus encounter happened. And Jesus said, nope, you're not going to be the high priest of Israel. You're going to be an apostle. Come on, an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to send you to preach the gospel to all those regions in Jesus' name. Come on. But so here we have Caiaphas, who is the high priest during a council meeting where in which they're coming to him and saying, look, this guy, this Jesus of Nazareth is performing signs and wonders and healings and miracles and people are following after him. What are we going to do? So Caiaphas says to them, you know nothing at all. Wow. Wow. He's rebuking them. Nor do you consider, look, you got to pay attention to what he's saying here. Nor do you consider that it is, quote, expedient for us that one man should die for the people. What? And not the whole nation should perish. Did you hear that? He says to them, listen, you guys are ignorant and you don't understand that it is expedient for us, all of Israel, that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. Verse 51, now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, look, this is going to blow you away. He prophesied. Whoa. Caiaphas prophesied. What did he prophesy? That Jesus, you know, the son of Mary and Joseph, the carpenter's son, the carpenter himself, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? This guy? Yes, this Jesus. Caiaphas prophesied that Jesus, watch this, would die for the nation. And not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Guys, are you kidding me? Can you guys let me know in the chat if you've ever heard this preached before? If it's the first time you've ever heard this, first time you've ever learned about this, I need you to let me know in the chat. I remember the first time when I was studying the Bible and I read this and it blew me away because it was contradictory of everything that we had seen in every Jesus film predicted and what we've been taught. Let me go back to the scripture. Okay? So here's Caiaphas. And it was known that he had prophesied that year as high priest, he had prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation and not the nation only, but he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. And this was obviously well known among the synagogues and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, but because he's rebuking them and saying to them, you don't know anything. You guys are ignorant. You're not paying attention. Look at the next verse, 53. Quote, then, somebody say then, from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Does this not blow you away, guys? When Caiaphas reminded him of this prophecy, you know what he was telling them, guys? Caiaphas was telling them, he was speaking to those who would receive what he was saying, this is the Messiah that has been spoken of by the prophets that would come. He was refreshing their memory of Isaiah's prophecy that the Spirit of the Lord God would be upon one man that would be anointed to preach the good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, and to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and an oil for joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, he may be glorified. When he said this, their eyes opened and they said, we must put him to death because it has been prophesied and foretold. Wow. Now don't miss it. So we know you have Simeon, you have Anna, you have Caiaphas, and a small group we know of the council of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and whoever else may have been out there that we may not have a recorded document of that was not put in the Bible. The point I'm trying to make is, guys, at the first appearance of the Messiah, there was a remnant in the earth who knew and understood the significance of who he was. And I want to shift gears and I want to show you that right before the second appearance of the Messiah, when he comes out of the clouds, come on, when he splits the eastern sky, before that trumpet blasts and there's a shout with the voice of the archangel, Before that happens, I believe right on the precipice of this event taking place, there will be a remnant in the earth that will not know the day nor the hour, but they will know by the Spirit of God that the birth pains of the Messiah have now, come on, they have now travailed into the breaking of the water that is preceding, come on, the Son of Man coming back as been prophesied. Let's go over here to Luke chapter 21, very familiar passage. You've heard me preach on this before, but this is relevant to what we're talking about. The whole chapter of Luke 21 is signs of the times and seasons of the coming of the Lord, signs of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the end of the age and the return of Christ. So he goes to his whole list of signs, and then he's speaking to believers here. He is not addressing unbelievers. He is addressing believers. And he says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day is the coming of the Lord, come upon you unexpectedly. Watch this. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Okay, now I want to read you something else here real quick. All right, now this is 1 John 2:28 and 29. 1 John 2:28 and 29. All right, 1 John 2:28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, I said, when he appears, he's addressing believers, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So notice that John is he is stressing the importance of abiding in Christ so that when he appears, we will have confidence and not be ashamed of it at his coming. Guys, this agrees with the Gospel of Luke chapter 21 that I just read to you, where in which Jesus was warning believers to take heed to ourselves and not allow our hearts to be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of life, that the day of the Lord would come as a snare upon us. Okay? All right, then I want to show you something else. And while I'm turning there, remember he says, and pray that you may be found worthy to escape all of these things. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. He's not talking about us as believers. They shall not escape. The they here is the unregenerated, the unbelievers, those who have rejected Christ. It will come as sudden destruction upon them, upon the world, upon the nations, and upon their leaders. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, now he shifts and he's talking to us as believers. You, brothers and sisters, it would be proper to say that today. You, brothers and sisters in Christ, are, look, what does he say here? We are not in darkness. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. Now, what's he talking about? Remember, go back to Luke 21. He said, the day of the Lord comes as a snare upon the whole earth. But watch therefore and pray that you may be found worthy to escape. Now, Paul comes here and he says that you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day, the coming of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. We should not be overtaken as a thief. Translation, we should be so close to the Lord and so in tune with the Holy Spirit, come on, that we're like Anna the prophetess, that we're like Simeon, and we're like Caiaphas, who knows the scriptures, They have a strong relationship with God. They're in tune with the Holy Spirit. And we know the times and seasons in which we're in. I believe that with my whole heart. And I can also equate that to Romans 8. Romans 8, and I'll show you that in just a second. Let me finish this. I'll finish it with Romans 8. Look at this. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. And he's not talking about physically sleeping. He's talking about slumber. He's talking about lackadaisicalness. He's talking about complacent. He's talking about being lukewarm. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. Look at this. For God did not appoint us to wrath. You need to hear that again. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. All right, then we go to Romans 8. I told you he's going to go to Romans 8. Let's go up here to verse 18. This is where we're going to land this plane tonight. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory, or with the glory rather, which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And guys, that is not B'nai Elohim in Hebrew, meaning the angels of God. He is talking about the church, the ecclesia, the entire creation is eagerly waiting for the revealing of the church in the last days. The ecclesia, the sons and daughters. Come on, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 30. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So as you've heard me say many times, look at this, verse 2. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs and together until now. Okay, and by the way, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern, there's some strange and bizarre stuff happening in the earth. And I believe we're going to equate this to birth pangs. We're going to show you some stuff on there. So you don't want to miss that program tomorrow afternoon at 2:00. We'll do a 20 or 30 minute video on that, and we'll show you how this stuff's going to intensify. We've talked about that. Watch this. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In other words, guys, if we think about this, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to leave you with this. If you have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you, living on the inside of you, the same Holy Spirit, by the way, who revealed to Simeon that he would not die until his eyes beheld the Messiah. If we have the same Spirit of God living on the inside of us, don't you think that the Holy Spirit of God knows when we are at the very brink and the very precipice of, come on, the dead in Christ being raised first, and we who are alive and remain being caught up with the sound of the voice of the archangel and that trumpet blast? Do you not think that? The Holy Spirit's in tune, friends, with the Father in heaven. And your Bible says in the book of John that the Spirit knows all things because he is getting a direct download from heaven. And your Bible says he reveals to us all things. He shall show us things to come. Now, again, I want to clarify this. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is going to tell you the day and hour, because Jesus has clarified to us that no man knows, not even the angels in heaven, not even himself, but the Father only. But again, I believe if you've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you and you're in relationship with Christ, you're in tune with Christ, come on, then you will know the times and seasons. You will not be in darkness, but you will be in light. And the day of the Lord will not overtake you as those in darkness that are groping around and don't have any direction or compass and not know what's going on. You will not be overtaken as a thief in the night, but you'll be watchful, you'll be praying, and you will not be found naked, as John says, but you will be ready for His appearance. Hallelujah. Come on. Do you receive this word tonight? Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Again, if you don't have our free app, please go buy the app store today. Download it today. It's on the Apple and Android devices. So you'll get messages like this. You'll be equipped. You'll be informed. All of it's going to be right there at your fingertips. And as always, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. It is through your generous support that we're able to do what we do week after week after week. You can do it. There's several different ways you can do this electronically. You can go through the app. You can go to the main website, on the YouTube chat, and even in the comments, pinned at the top, you'll see the bold letters, bold word support. There's a link there. Just click on that, and that's going to take you right there where you can donate electronically. If you wish to give by check or money order, right there on your screen, you can give to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And guys, again, we love you. We appreciate you. Again, let me know. Let us know in the comments what you think about this message. If it was a blessing to you, I'd love to hear from you. And again, guys, please hit that like button. Push this out. Help us get eyes on this powerful word of the Lord so others can be blessed by it as well. And again, don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell notification. We are going to sign out for tonight. I plan on being back here, Lord willing, tomorrow afternoon to close out this week of podcasting tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern. And then, of course, we'll be back at 8 p.m. Eastern for our main show where we gather with our church family here at 8 p.m. Eastern as well. So, until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.